This is SB Nation Radio.
The next generation of sports radio.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
This is the Casey Smith Show.
So let's hear it one more time. Together. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go.
Here's your host, Casey Smith. Are you smiling
by my table? Welcome into the show on a Get Weird Wednesday. As it always is, it's a monsoon outside. It's force gut type of rain.
I've experienced a lot of rain outside and inside my car.
You have. Things. You can't even escape the rain right
I
now.
Can't.
This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Wednesday. Thanks for hanging out. If you are enjoying the added bonus of our social media cameras on Twitter, Periscope, or Facebook, we're glad to have you. Even though it's wet outside, I'm sure we don't look our best, but we'll take it.
Hiding from the rain.
And of course, SB Nation Radio nationally and gridironnow.com or iTunes. However you guys are tuning in today, we appreciate it.
Always.
Annie Kuntz has had quite a week.
Whew, I had quite the Monday. I lost my dog for a few hours. It was terrifying.
Louis Pierre was missing.
My little French bulldog who loves people and ran off for a little bit, had a little adventure. And then I, with all this rain going on, I got in my car the other day and took off, and water started pouring on top of me in my sunroof.
It was literally raining inside your car.
It was Niagara Falls inside my Hummer, and that was fun. So I had to deal with that on that Monday, and I had the hardest workout of the year. I had an 800 workout, and it was just a snowball effect of bad things going my way.
For those of you guys that don't know, which if you listen and or watch the show, you know, Annie is training for the Olympics. So when she talks about her workouts, she's not like the douchebag that's like, oh, my workout was so tough. Like, no, they actually are really hard because she's training for the Olympics.
It was rough. And I knew that my dog was missing before my workout.
I don't know how you did it. I know. Like, I went out and looked for him like while you were working out. And I was like, if this was me, I'd be in shambles, and this is why I can never have children, because I'm this bad about dogs, about an animal. Like, my dog is...
But that's good motherly instinct, I feel like. You'd be a good mom.
But then I can put her outside if she messes
this
up.
This is true. You can't frown upon if you do that with children.
You can't do that with kids. At least that's what they tell me.
That's
I don't know.
Frowned upon, I would believe.
I'm not. But yes, a hell of a Monday for you.
It was.
But it is Wednesday, and every Wednesday on the show, we never know where it's going to go, especially without college football right now, which sucks. Of course, Lane Kiffin keeping it interesting, though.
Always.
He always keeps it interesting. But you never know where it's going to go because it's the middle of the week. Obviously, the NFL, there's four teams left, lots of that. We're going to actually have a show tomorrow, Thursday.
Preview.
To preview because we have things we can't be in studio for on Friday. Mm-hmm. We'll preview all those NFL games, or I say all, those two NFL games, championship weekend tomorrow. But today, random stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a lot of stuff with the Antonio Brown fallout that's still happening. We talked about it on the show on Monday, Annie, and it was like, okay, like, that was dumb. He shouldn't have done it. But now, like, the fallout has continued, mm-hmm. which it's
drama's increased.
The drama's increased. We're going to talk about that. Of course, looking at the Oregon strength and conditioning coach situation, and who knows where it'll take us.
A lot of different ways.
A lot of different ways. So if you guys want to hear about anything or have comments or questions or whatever, get them in. We want to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
So if you are listening, get on social
Wednesdays
media.
Wednesdays are a good day for that too, because we don't have the big, huge like game previews or reviews, so we can talk about it more and answer some questions.
Well, and when we set up this show, and anybody who's watched it before knows, like, it's radio first, so we have that. But because we have the camera elements, because of our lovely partners at TechSags, we can talk to people via social media.
Yeah.
So what do you guys want to talk about? We want to talk about it.
Different ways.
Do you have a dating question for Annie? She's really good at dating.
Am I?
She's really good at dating. So whatever you guys got, we want to hear from you. And of course, the big question is this Antonio Brown video, right?
Debacle.
It's a complete debacle. It's kind of one of those stories. It's like, should it really be this big of a story? We saw it come out, obviously, after they won the game. He, you know, it's everywhere right now. He Facebook Live streamed Mike Tomlin's post-game speech, which was not that egregious, by the way, which didn't really strike a nerve to me at all. Like, I listened to it and I was like, okay, yeah, he called the Patriots assholes and said some other choice words. But at the
right.
same time, like, it's an NFL locker room.
Right.
But now it continues to kind of have more of a fallout because not only did the Patriots respond to it, we're going to get to hear from Bill Belichick in just a second, but now Mike Tomlin, who had kind of, you know, obviously he couldn't come out and be like, oh yeah, that was great. But he came out with a very long quote on this, and we can't play the whole thing because it's like 7 minutes long.
Minutes, yeah.
But he didn't go about this as like, you know, hey, let me slap him on the wrist. Obviously, it was really bad. He shouldn't have done it. It was selfish. He went into really thick details about this and how angry he is. And yes, he has every right to be mad. Mm-hmm. But this quote from Mike Tomlin really struck a nerve with me. It's like, there's more going on than just this situation and how he really disrespected he felt. And we've got that for you. If you're watching it on Facebook, you can see it. If not, listen, we've got it for
you. The last element of the discussion is Antonio himself. And I'll be bluntly honest here. It was foolish of him to do that. It was selfish for him to do that. And it was inconsiderate for him to do that. Not only is it a violation of our policy, it is a violation of league policy, both of which he knows. So there are consequences to be dealt with from his perspective. We will punish him. We won't punish us. And we'll do so swiftly, and we'll do so internally. And I'll imagine that there are consequences associated with the National Football League's policy in that regard. I'm sure that he'll appropriately absorb all of those things and as he moves forward. But larger than that, he's got to grow from this. He has to. He works extremely hard. He's extremely talented. And those things get minimized with incidences such as this.
Obviously very heated.
Slightly.
With every right to be, right? I mean, you'd be very pissed off if that happened to you. Mm-hmm. But like I mentioned, you know, it is and earlier in that quote, I mean, we pulled out the part about Antonio Brown, but he mentioned about the language that was used. Obviously, there were curse words in it. Whatever. We're all adults. It's the NFL. We know what's being talked about. It's the locker room. But what's interesting to me about this, Annie, is that let's just take our friendship and our group of girls and things that are talked about behind closed doors, mm-hmm. which is like a locker room, right? If you were live streaming me sometimes when I'm either pissed off or when I'm really happy or when I'm drunk or whatever, like who knows what I would say,
right?
And that would be extremely embarrassing for me, probably nine times out of 10.
A lot of conversations we'd have.
And you know, I think that's pretty normal for a lot of people. You know, you don't, your private conversations are private. But what Mike Tomlin actually said on the video, in the entirety of the video, was like 15 minutes long, was not that bad. Now, I'm not saying that he shouldn't be angry about it, but I say things that are way worse and that I wouldn't want out that people think that I might not be saying something that's that bad. You know, I mean, like, it's the principle of the matter, I guess, but he went out and he was like, we're going to punish him. Well, how are you going to punish him? Like, what, mm-hmm. he's one of your best players on your team. So now this fallout has gotten a little bit more dramatic because publicly Mike Tomlin is so pissed, not mm-hmm. just privately behind closed doors.
No, I agree. And that the quote that stood out to me in this is, we're going to punish him and not us. But how do you not punish your team if you're going to punish Antonio Brown? Like, I mean, there's just no way that the way they punish him, that's going to affect their team. So my thing is, I completely understand why he's so pissed, because
absolutely,
as a team going into a championship game, not even just any regular season game, it's a championship game that you're going into, you don't want to do anything to give the team more motivation to beat you and put a target on your back. So I get that. I completely agree that things just need to stay in-house in the locker room. And no matter, I mean, what he said wasn't bad. It was classic, you know, rah-rah.
They just won. It was a close game. Motivating your team. You know, they beat the Chiefs. There's so much with that. But as a former athlete,
right,
how much do you really need bulletin board material? Like, especially in the, like, do you think Tom Brady gives a crap that they said that?
No. And I mean, but Brady did come out and say what's in the locker room should stay in the locker room. And I agree with him. I mean, you don't want to give any team insight to what's going on inside your locker room, especially going into such a big game like they are. So for me, and I'm in my team and it's one of my teammates doing that, I'm pissed. I am pissed. And I think that Tomlin reacted the way that he did and was so angry about it to set an example that this isn't okay. And what stays in our locker room stays in our locker room, and to make it clear that this can't go on or happen again in the future.
Well, and Ben Roethlisberger also came out in the same press conference and was like, I'm just upset that he wasn't listening to Coach Tomlin. He wasn't mm-hmm. listening to me. You know, obviously that was not an okay thing to do. But here's the thing is, like, I understand why he would be pissed.
Right.
But the motivation factor to me, like, first of all, look who they're playing. Okay. The Patriots are like, they're the close that, you know, they keep everything so close to the chest, right? They don't come out. They don't say anything crazy. But at the same time, these are grown ass men. These are adults. They aren't, you know, junior high kids that are, you know, needing that, like, hey, they talk crap about you. And I understand, like, it's horrible what he did from a respect standpoint.
Yeah.
From, you know, it's not very loyal. Obviously, it was just stupid. It was flat out stupid. But, like, giving extra motivation to the Patriots with this or whoever it would be, I just don't see it, because I don't think that they – care. Now, with that being said,
from the reactions that they've had to the media, it doesn't seem like it's a big, very big deal from Brady and Belichick.
That's what I was saying. With that being said, you look at who you're dealing with. If it was like somebody, you know, that's more outspoken, like a Rex Ryan or somebody like that, then maybe you would. Mm-hmm. But the way the Patriots have handled this, and obviously you mentioned Tom Brady said it earlier, so he's like, whatever. But Bill Belichick is incredible when it comes to this social media stuff, because we all know he doesn't know anything about anything, or if he does, it's he's not going to say. I have no idea what that guy actually is like outside of the media. I feel like it'd be really fun to figure that out. You're like, who is this person? Like, maybe he's got like the best troll Twitter of all time. We don't know. Maybe he runs fake Bo Pelini. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be hilarious.
But outwardly, he's not only coming out and saying, look, we don't really care. We're getting our team ready to play in championship weekend.
He has no recollection of what social media is.
Great quote from his press conference this week. Go ahead and roll it, Ronnie.
Well, as you know, I'm not on Snapface and all that, so I don't really get those. But I'm really just worried about getting our team ready to go. Not really too worried about what they put on instant chat or whatever it is.
It's like, you can't help but laugh. Snap face.
Instant chat.
So like, you talk about, you know, Facebook Live is obviously huge and we utilize it, you know, whether there's one person, 100 people, a million people watching Facebook Live videos every single day, right? They're utilized all the time. Then you've got Instagram, you've got Twitter, you've got Periscope, you've got Snapchat. You have all
so many different outlets these days.
All of these different outlets. So it makes sense that people, oh, you know, we just won. It was a great game. It came down to the very end. It was controversial on a holding call on the 2-point conversion, all these things. I want my fans to watch this reaction. Well, wait till your head coach is done talking, then show the reaction. That's great. Mm-hmm. But then you've got Bill Belichick on the other side. He's like, I have no idea what any of this stuff is, nor do I care. Move along. We've got
unbothered.
Completely unbothered. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and that's my point here. At this stage, at this level, everything they've got going, the Patriots don't need bulletin board material.
Right.
So what are the Steelers going to do? What's Mike Tomlin going to do to punish Antonio Brown that's not going to affect the team?
Exactly. That's the whole thing. Punishing him is definitely going to punish their whole team.
You look at their offensive numbers, and we've talked about this as every time we look at the Steelers games. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a huge, not just a part of the offense. Obviously, he's incredibly talented, but even just the production numbers between him and Le'Veon Bell. I mean, that's really, that's their offense, and obviously Ben Roethlisberger.
So explosive.
But at the same time, what are you going to do? Take his phone away from him? Can't do that. I mean, really, how do you punish him internally? What's the NFL going
to
do?
That's the thing here. He talks big, but when you look down at it, I mean, what are they really going to do here to punish Antonio Brown? Because at the end of the day, going into a championship game like this, you can't punish him to a point that it's going to affect the team.
If you guys are watching us on social media, we want to hear from you. Is this even a story? Is this a big deal? I mean, everybody's talking about it right now because it is the middle of the week and everyone's like, oh my God, we just want more games to be played. But how do you punish him? Is this a big story? We want to hear from you guys. We're going to get to all those questions and comments and everything at the end of the show, because on Get Weird Wednesday, we want to hear from you guys. So if you're listening to us, go find your computer or phone and watch us. That's what we're about. This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Wednesday with Annie Kuntz, as always. SB Nation Radio nationally, gridironnow.com. And like I mentioned, social media. We love utilizing the extra cameras. So thanks to TechSags and all of our production team for doing that. We don't tell them thank you enough.
No, we don't. Love you guys.
Love you guys. Rock. Producer Ron, until he changes that handle, though, on his Twitter handle, I'm done with him. So looking, you know, past the Antonio Brown stuff, which is obviously the headlines, there's a headline in college football right now that's a little bit more serious, obviously. Very. And it's kind of buried underneath because it is right in the middle of the most exciting part of the NFL, you know, with championship week and the Super Bowl coming up, obviously all the Cowboys headlines, and we don't have to get into that because I'll get depressed again. We don't have to go back to that.
You're not wearing a choker today, though, so it's okay.
And that is true. But I am wearing yoga pants, so that's fine. Like, I've given up on life. Like, I'm wearing yoga pants. And it's funny, if you watch, like, Undisputed on Fox Sports 1 or, you know, First Take on ESPN or whatever, everybody's still talking about this Cowboys loss, right? And how good the Packers are and how dangerous Aaron Rodgers is. And so you've got all these big-time headlines in the NBA. There's drama there, as there always is. But underneath that, there's a big story coming out of Oregon in Eugene. The strength and conditioning coach, and I'm going to say this name, and I know I'm going to butcher it, but I'm going to give it hell. Irale Odarende.
That was good. That was perfect.
I think that was good.
That was very well done. Strength and conditioning. Say it 5 times fast, though.
No, absolutely not. What are you trying to do to me here? The strength and conditioning coach at Oregon, who came with Willie Taggart, obviously the new head coach there from USF, he's now suspended. ESPN reported he's now suspended for a month because three of their players were hospitalized after what seems to be a very difficult strength and conditioning regimen that was so hard. It now puts these guys in the hospital. Two of them, as of last night, are still in the hospital. One of them was released. And now it's all coming out, you know, how much went into this. One of the players' families has come out and said that it's about rhabdo, which is basically a breakdown of your muscles. It gets into your kidneys, and it's very severe if it goes unnoticed.
Leaks into the bloodstream.
Yeah, it leaks into your bloodstream, and you could die from it.
Could be life-threatening.
And a lot of that comes from, and you read about rhabdo, and I love CrossFit. I'm that
guy. Yeah, we had a similar bout about, well, potentially about this over Christmas break.
Yeah, like I'm not like the, I'm going to video myself everyday CrossFitter, but I enjoy CrossFit. That's how I like to stay in shape. And over the Christmas break, like I had like what looked like a tennis ball inside my elbow, and immediately I reached out to you, and your trainer says, well, it might be rhabdo. So of course I go look
to the
it
doctor
up.
Immediately. She's right. Very, I mean, she was adamant about taking it seriously and making sure that it wasn't.
It's dangerous, very dangerous. And so I went and looked it up, and a lot of people are saying, you know, it's a lot of times it has to do with just overusage of the same muscle over and over and over. It breaks it down. I did not have it. I was just being dramatic. Mm-hmm. It hurt really bad, but I didn't have it. But I'm just a normal everyday person that works out. Mm-hmm. I've got a personal trainer. I've got a guy that, you know, watches over me, but I'm not a Division I athlete that is being put through this so I can stay on scholarship with somebody who's supposed to be training me as their job, as their full-time job, to protect me and make sure I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing to stay safe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to have injuries. Duh, that happens. Yeah, you're going to have situations where guys get hurt, you know, whether it's tearing a ligament or whatever, like those things are natural. What these guys are hospitalized for is overusage, and now Oregon's coming out, and I'm sure they have no idea how to handle this, but they're suspending him for 1 month, and you have to think there's got to be an investigation or something, right?
That thing, when I saw that the only punishment he was getting was a month suspension with no pay, I have an issue with that. I mean, these guys are hired for a reason to take care of these players and make sure they're safe while pushing them to the limit. But for me here, that this is just unacceptable for a strength coach and athletic trainers to let this go unnoticed. Because
three of them,
and this it was an hour of continuous push-ups and up downs, type military type workout, and then some of the players complained of discolored urine. That was the immediate symptom that my trainer had told me about you when you had your issue over Christmas break with your elbow, that discolored urine. So immediately you got to know that this is pushing these guys too far. And as a Division I athlete, you're taught to not quit. I mean,
you can't.
Quitting is a sign of weakness. You could lose your spot. You can lose your scholarship a lot of the different things that go into it, but you're just taught not to quit. And so you're going to push your body to the limit. And it's these guys' jobs to make sure these players are safe and healthy. And so for just a month suspension, and it might be a continuous thing, like an investigation, like you said, but for three players to go hospitalized, I feel like he should be fired.
This is a potentially life-threatening thing. And luckily it seems like they've caught it. These guys are still in the hospital though. This right. wasn't just like, oh, they fainted, got overheated and they're okay. Like they're still in the hospital dealing with this.
And this is a type of disease where if it's caught early enough, you can fully recover, but it definitely is life-threatening.
It can
not.
Right. I mean, it's not, and hopefully they've caught it way, way before right. that's even an issue. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this is going on in January, that's what gets me about this. This is not August. This is not it's never okay. But this is not 2 days. This isn't even in spring camp. Like,
and this
the
is
bowl
like
season.
A month and a half into this new staff and coaching staff.
It's crazy.
Staff, it's
like,
unbelievable.
And so you mentioned the hours of the push-ups and the up-downs. So that was according to a local newspaper, right? And they said they had multiple sources that came out. Mm-hmm. They've got a couple of players coming out now saying that they're downplaying and that it wasn't as severe. ESPN reported that, you know, maybe that was a little bit over exaggerated. Either way, an hour of continuous up downs and push ups, that's like military style,
it
right?
is.
But these are college football players who are going into this. So I didn't play college sports. I know you did. But my thought is like, if I'm doing this and I'm putting my body through everything, I still have to go to school. I still have to meet all these standards. Like, I'm not going to think, oh, this workout that I'm given and it's written down is going to be dangerous towards me.
But, and that's the whole thing here. You put so much trust into your coaches and your strength coaches and your trainers. You put all your trust into them because this is what their job is to do. And it's very, very hard for them to get these positions, especially at a program like Oregon with the resources and money that they have. I mean, it is tough to fill those spots and earn those positions. So you put all your trust into them, and then for them to put you in a situation where it's all of a sudden not safe and you're hospitalized is really, really unfortunate.
And it's scary.
Scary. And of course, and if you're those parents, are you kidding?
Well, right. And like Willie Taggart is handling this as well as he can. You know, he's coming out. He's very apologetic. He's taking responsibility for something he doesn't need to take responsibility for. This is not Willie Taggart's thing. I mean, yeah, I'm sure.
That's why you hire those staff members.
It would be different if it was in the middle of two-a-days and all of these coaches are seeing all of this happen all the time, but each coach is hired. I mean, this is, again, it's January. Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on? So I completely agree with you. 1 month is ridiculous. This is not one player. This is three players. It is a big story. You know, you've seen some people be like, well, you know, that happens. No, this is not torn ACLs. Mm-hmm. This is not getting overheated. Like, right. These are three players that have now been hospitalized, two of them still there because they're being overworked.
And I saw someone comment, coaches are supposed to win and whatever that comment. I saw something pop up. But at what point do you draw the line? I mean, if you're pushing your players to this point where they are pushing their bodies way too far, you're not going to be winning games and putting your team in the best position to win games.
You look at the
especially
teams,
in January.
You look at the teams that have success. I mean, yeah, they're going to be going through workouts that I would cry even looking at, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a difference between putting them through really hard regimens on a normal basis and doing it safely and not doing it safely. Right. And what it seems like is going on with, again, I'm going to say this name as many times as long as I can say it right, Irale Odarende, is that it wasn't safe. And that is your sole job. This is not a PE teacher in junior high that just has no idea what goes on in your body and puts a kid in a situation that they shouldn't be because they just don't know any better.
Right.
Fair
and well.
Right. There's not that saying PE teachers don't know, but it's not some guy that was just like, oh, you know, I don't really know. This workout looks great. Let me go pull it off of Google and we'll see what happens. Like, this is their job. Mm-hmm. This is a Division I college football.
A lot of thought goes into those workouts.
And you've got hundreds of guys going through this. I mean, there's no way that he just like, oh, I think I'll just ride a workout today. And like, well, they'll do push-ups for an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not how this works. That's why this story is so big. It's because this could be happening other places. And now that it's finally out that people are getting hospitalized because of this training regimen, it's all over social media. How do you protect that? And if mm-hmm. I'm a head coach of any massive program, or it doesn't even have to be a massive program, if I'm a head coach now, I'm like, oh my God, like, we need to make sure my players are safe.
And I get why Willie Taggart is coming out and saying it's his fault because he brought in the strength coach, came with him from South Florida. And I get that, but I don't think that it's his responsibility for the taking. I think that he needs to be fired from strength coach because there's just no, for me, it's just unacceptable for this to happen.
And how do you come back from that?
You don't, especially month into a new program like Oregon.
Like, how do you come back from that? Like, every time you start doing workouts, and look, a lot of the players.
And how are your players supposed to trust you after that?
Like, a lot of the players are saying, you know, hey, this wasn't as strenuous as what it's reported and whatever. You still got your teammates hospitalized. And look, it's not a situation where he like has, you know, forever hurt these kids. It's just not a good look. It's not responsible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you hear Marcus Spears on ESPN on College Football Live. He was talking about it this week and he said, this is a big story. Mm-hmm. He was like, I played football. I know. He was like, this is a big story. Because it's just not okay. Mm-hmm. It's just not safe. So we'll see what happens with that. But I completely agree with you. A month suspension. I'm not saying the guy should never coach again.
No, but I don't think. I mean,
there needs to be something that's done.
Bigger than a month suspension with no pay.
What would you guys do if you are watching us on social media? What would you guys do with Oregon? Is this a situation that you trust him again? You know, what is going on? This is January. Mm-hmm. But what would you do? We want to hear
from
you guys.
Thoughts and questions.
Thoughts, questions. Even it's like we've talked about Antonio Brown now. We've talked about Oregon. If you have something completely random, we still want to hear from you. So join us on Twitter, Periscope, and Facebook, and we'll get to those.
I can't wait.
Or Bachelor question.
Ooh.
We do like
which I'm so upset about. I totally messed up our fantasy league. I didn't pick my final rose on accident.
Well, that was a rookie move. Everybody's kind of a rookie, though, with this because it's new.
This is true.
Fantasy. We talked about this on last Wednesday's show. The fact that we can now bridge sports and The Bachelor in a fantasy league and like sports personalities. Like Barrett Salee of the Bleacher Report was tweeting about how Mattie Lou Chandler is cheating.
Cheating!
Like, it's incredible. It really is. Like, this is great. The Bachelor is a disaster this season already, and it's only been 3 weeks.
It is a joke of a season, but it is quite entertaining.
So I was talking to Clay Travis about this the other day with Corinne, who, if you guys are watching this, she's batshit. Crazy. She is so crazy. She's a 24-year-old who has a nanny. No, not because she has a child, a nanny for herself.
Her personal nanny.
And she loves sex. Slightly. That's all she wants to do.
There's a lot of firsts, I think, from The Bachelor.
That's all she wants to do.
Because of Corinne with the whipped cream coming out. she got undressed and put a trench coat on to tease him out. I mean, it's entertaining to say the least.
The Bachelor has become so train wreckish. I'm making that a word. I don't know if it is. without sports on Mondays right now, or like, you know, obviously there's NBA games, but like without, like, you know, the national championship was the week before Monday Night Football. Like,
right.
This is all there is to watch, really.
Right.
I mean, that's my excuse, at least.
Didn't it affect the ratings of the national championship game, too?
Oh, yeah.
That's shocking to me.
The Bachelor is the... I mean, how they can actually correlate it, I don't know.
Right.
Like, it's probably pretty difficult, but, like, The Bachelor is the most watched television show in the country,
right.
And it's insane how many people watch it. It is. I weep for our generation. I weep for it. But if you have a question about The Bachelor, we watch it every week
and
religiously.
And we'd love to answer your questions.
I mean... If anything, this season has the hottest Bachelor. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, if anything. I can't dispute that. I can't.
He is also a Packers fan, so we wouldn't get along very well. This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Wednesday on SB Nation Radio nationally every week. GridironNow.com and our added social media bonus.
That we love.
We're lucky to have it.
We are.
And we're hanging out with Annie Kuntz, as always, on this Get Weird Wednesday, because you never know where it's going to go. That's why we want to hear from you guys. I do, and I put this out on social media. I did get my official...
I was going to bring that up at the end of the show.
You know what?
You got to congratulate Casey.
This is one of those things, like, you're allowed to talk about, right?
You have to.
3 years I've been in remission. My actual date 3 years was at the end of November, but this was my first checkup. So I'm officially 3 months in remission from cancer.
Three years and two months.
I'm talking about months. So like,
how does it feel?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I have a great oncologist at MD Anderson, and it's wonderful. But the reason I bring that up is because anytime I can say this, go to the dermatologist, y'all. Mm-hmm. Seriously, it is so important. If I wouldn't have had a guardian angel, really.
Tell people the story, too, because I don't think we've ever really talked about it.
You want me to start crying
right
now?
No, but there's you can give a little tidbit.
Basically, long story short, the reason I say this is because I was in the stands at an Ole Miss game in Oxford, Mississippi, when I still worked locally in College mm-hmm. Station before I went to the SEC Network and ESPN. And a woman was sitting three rows behind me and noticed a spot on
guardian
my shoulder
angel.
And tracked my number down, called me at the studio, and told me I need to get in to see somebody. And I had cancer. I had melanoma that had been spreading, and I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go through a bunch of stuff there, but I got taken care of pretty quickly because I caught it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was not fun.
No.
But that's kind of the quick details.
You're a little guardian angel.
If I would have never known.
Right.
I would have absolutely never known. My oncologist made it very clear that it was spreading, that it would have been all over very quickly. So go to the dermatologist, everybody.
We're so happy for you, Casey.
Thank you. And everybody who is fighting, continue to fight. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to cry. I told myself I wasn't going to cry today.
We'll change the subject.
I'll change the subject. Let's talk about Bo Jackson.
Another medical type story.
That right now during the off season, almost the off season of football in general, like all these
stories start coming up.
You look at ESPN.com headlines and you're like, well, there's not a whole lot going on, is there? There's really not a whole lot going on. But Bo Jackson has been in the headlines the last week or so, told USA Today that if he knew what he knows now, he would have never played football. Obviously, arguably one of the best athletes of all time,
mm-hmm.
was really good at two different sports. Now coming
Slightly.
Out of... he's all right. He's all right. He's the best athlete of all time in my book,
mm-hmm.
Or at least up there. I think I would still put him at number one. I know people can make arguments for others.
Right, but he's up there for sure.
He's up there. He's now saying that he would not have played had he known about concussions and the CTE and all the health issues that football mm-hmm. players have. He then went on even further and talked about Cam Newton. Obviously, they have a very close relationship. He said he's like a son to him. He said every time Cam gets hit in the head, it scares the hell out of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's really adamant about this. And it's hard when you read that because you're like, okay, like Bo Jackson is one of the greatest of all time in multiple sports. And you're like, is it really that bad for these athletes now to look back and be like, I would have never even done it, because he wouldn't even be famous if he hadn't done
right.
it.
Right. Well, I found some numbers, and the National Institute for Occupational Safety did a study about 3,349 former NFL players who have played for at least 5 years for neurodegenerative disorder, CTE, which is so common, we're finding out. It was 3 times higher than the general population. Alzheimer's and ALS were 4 times higher, and there were 4,500 players that have field claims in the settlement.
It's really hard because you see a lot of these guys who have been going through stuff like that, and those are interesting numbers because mm-hmm. it is higher. I mean, mm-hmm. it's higher than the population, and you see these numbers, and you're like, Oh my God. And you know how violent football is, right? I mean, you know, now you also have to take into consideration how much more people are being protected now, you know, with the evolution of helmets and pads and all of that.
Advances in medicine right now.
But for somebody like Bo Jackson to come out and say that, you're like,
it makes you think, scratch your head a little bit.
Absolutely. And, you know, and we've talked to former, I mean, your dad's a former NFL player. We've talked to them, you know, some of them like, I would do this over again, you know, times 100. And other people are like, I'm not the same. I don't know if I would have. But it's bringing even more attention to what's already in the forefront of the NFL and football in general is concussions and what it does long term to these players. And Bo Jackson said, you know, whether, you know, this is a ton of them or not, he said he hates seeing ex-NFL players homeless with no insurance and walking in chronic pain. Seems like it's a little bit, you know,
a little bit drastic,
but there's probably guys like
there's
that.
Cases.
And Bo Jackson is now using his platform because he is so well known and he is so famous to speak about it. And it is kind of concerning that he is saying, I would have never done it. And we talked to your dad about it today. And he's like, well, would he even have the platform he has if he wouldn't have played football? Well, absolutely not.
His whole argument was he got more out of it than what it would have took away from him if he didn't. And I kind of agree with him. And his whole, and knowing my dad, this is very fitting. He's a tough guy. And
how many teams did he play for?
So he went to CU. He played at CU and then went on to play for the Raiders. He ended up blowing out his knee against the Packers, which is another reason why sometimes
she hates
don't
Packers.
Like the Packers.
but I mean, he played in the NFL for a long time.
He was with John Madden, and he won a Super Bowl with the Raiders in 76, I believe. So he's been around the block. But his stories and the relationships that he has with those guys, I think, mean more to him than the risk it would have taken for him if he didn't play. And for me, I kind of tend to agree with him. He said so many people these days want to put their kid in a bubble. And I think that I look at my experiences that I've had in soccer, and there's a lot of things. I mean, obviously soccer's not the same as football and physical wise, and how aggressive it is. You're not getting blown
by a 300-pound dude.
Right. But there's a lot of things like knees and injuries like that I have a lot of friends that are still struggling with and will forever the rest of their life struggle with. But I tend to look at it the same way. It was the relationships and the experiences that I've gotten through sport like that, I would never, ever, ever give up.
Yeah, it's when in retrospect, it's easy to say that, right? And you have to think, like, if Bo Jackson really did know that, would he not have played? But maybe that's his way of saying, like, hello, we need to bring this to the forefront. Obviously, Cam Newton's had concussions in the past. He brings up Cam Newton now that every time he watches it, he gets sick to his stomach and it scares him. And it's it is something that needs to be addressed.
I completely
agree.
But at
the same time, I mean, what, is football just going to go away? I mean, I don't want to see football go away.
Hopefully there'd be more advances to protect players more the way, I mean, they're already coming out with things and pads and helmets and things like that to protect these players. And you'd hope that would just continue to advance.
Well, I know that right now everybody's looking for headlines. So of course, Bo Jackson, anytime he says something, you know, it's going to be talked about, but it kind of shocked me a little bit because, you know, and I understand a lot of people are trying to protect him. And like your dad told us today, it was like, you know, people want to put their kid in a bubble. But if like I'm growing up in a world where like football is taboo to play, which I don't know if that'll ever happen.
I would hope not.
Like I would hope not too. But as a young boy, like
would you put your kids in football?
If they wanted to play football, and maybe I'm just naive, I don't know. I mean, if you guys are watching on social media, let us know. Do you care if your kid plays football? I mean, obviously there's a lot of things whenever, you know, you take into consideration the injuries that can happen, but what, like I would love my kid to play golf. If I ever have a kid,
that's a sport you put in?
Well, yeah, because like, think about all the cool places you get to go. They've got to be really good. Don't get me wrong. Right. But like, if my kid wants to play football,
a lot of money in it too, if you're good.
Like, I'm not going to be, I don't want to be the parent that's like, no. Like, look what's happened here. Because in reality, like, you can't protect them from everything anyways. Now, with that said, if I really thought that it was extremely dangerous, or like, you look at like the Oregon situation and where these, I mean, those things can be avoided, but football is football. I mean, that's the whole point, is it is a physical game that also can be dangerous. And I don't know what all is going to come out. I know they've done documentaries and shows and movies and all this about the concussions, but like, how do you avoid that without just completely taking the sport away?
Which I don't think will ever happen. And I really hope not, because football is such, I mean, that's America's sport right there. And so if for it to ever be taken away, I mean, I know I would be devastated just because of how much we love football. And but we also aren't moms and we don't have kids of our own to know what it's like.
I got a dog. That's it.
That's what, and you said you're super attached to Memphis. But I mean, I don't know what it'd be like to watch my kid, you know, get tackled and the scary things that can happen to them and medically wise. And but I just don't see the sport ever going away. And I don't know how they're going to hopefully the only thing, the only answer is to advance the protection that these players are going
to
get.
You also have to put the right people in place, right? Because you see these kids now in like junior high and like early high school, like hitting the crap out of each other.
Right.
And they're probably not being protected the way that they need to. I mean, that's a more of a concern for me, is you've got to have these professionals in place, which is why it goes all the way back to what we were talking about earlier, is the Oregon situation with the strength and conditioning coach. These guys have to be trained in this. There has to be protection. I get it. But like, you look at, I mean, obviously a completely different sport, but still very physical and violent, is MMA. And we talk about Ronda Rousey, and her mom came out after she got the shit beat out of her a couple weeks ago and said, I hate watching her do this. If I'm a mom, I don't want to watch my kid. You know, I don't want to watch that, but that's what she's chosen to do. And that's extremely dangerous. Mm-hmm. But then you look at moving forward with sports and all the science and all the technology, there's no way to avoid this with football.
There isn't.
So what do you do? Mm-hmm. Do you put your kid in the sport anyways? I feel like I would. Maybe, like I said, I'm not a parent, so maybe I'm just stupid.
I know. I don't know. I don't have kids yet. I'm trying to put that off for a while. But
do.
I mean,
please,
that's
do.
The thing. I don't think you really know until you're in that situation. But I don't see there being a time when they just completely take football away, or because it's too dangerous. And I hope it doesn't happen, because I love football so much.
I do too. And it is very dangerous, and it is very, you know, it's obviously the most violent of, mainstream sports. And I hate using the word violent, but I mean, the whole point is to hit each other, right? And, you know, they've taken things like the targeting rule, and they're trying to make it safer. They really are. But how do you do that without taking the sport completely away? I don't know. I hope it doesn't happen.
And my dad made a good point, too, where, I mean, he's like, it's hard to find anyone these days at his age. He's in his early 60s and that doesn't have a need a knee replacement or a hip replacement. And he said, you know, it's just part of life, and I wouldn't give up the days I had in the NFL for anything.
The one thing he said, and I know you mentioned this earlier, but, you know, as we close this topic, is he said it gave him more than it took away. Mm-hmm. And Bo Jackson is saying, well, I wouldn't have done it. But that quote from your dad, who played in the NFL, who played at a high level, it gave him more long term than it took away from him. Some people would probably disagree with that.
And it's totally a personal preference.
It's subjective.
It's totally subjective.
Depends on what you're going through, right, too. Depends on if you've watched your kids suffer.
How long you're in the NFL. My dad only played for 2 years. Who knows if he was in it for 10, you know?
You know, there's somebody that I should reach out to, and I think we'll talk about this, you know, tomorrow on the show or whatever. It's Eric LeGrand. And we talked about him on Monday.
He's
a good friend of mine. Go to Athletes Brand on Twitter. Anytime I can plug Eric LeGrand, I will.
We love him.
Eric LeGrand 52 on Twitter. He's doing a great thing right now, selling shirts with this brand, Athletes Brand, to bring awareness and a cure
for
paralysis.
Using his platform.
Incredible. But he got paralyzed playing football. And it would be interesting. And I know he wrote a book, and it's incredible. And he wants to go back, and he wants to be able to get up in that spot and walk away from where he fell and he got hurt. But his experiences have been able to give him this platform. And while it's so unfortunate, and you don't wish that, he's been able to give a voice to so many people who don't have one. It'd be very interesting to hear what he has to say, because he lost complete control of everything from his neck down due to football because of how dangerous it is.
Yeah, I would love to hear his take on it. It'd be interesting. You should totally send him a text, would you?
I will. I'll wait till we get off the show, though, because I can't multitask. This is the Casey Smith Show, wrapping up on a Wednesday with Annie Kuntz. We've been asking you guys, if you are on the social media side of things, whether it's Twitter, Periscope, or Facebook, send in questions. We've talked about Antonio Brown. How do you punish him if you're Mike Tomlin? We played the clips earlier. He is pissed. Do you punish him? What do you do? We talked about the Oregon situation, which is awful to me. And then, of course, Bo Jackson. But whatever. Well, we talked about The Bachelor, too. We want to hear from you. But I saved this topic for the last topic because it's my favorite topic. It's my favorite topic. Usually anytime I can bring him up in a show.
This is why we're so happy he's in a head coaching position again.
Listen, and I've said this before, and I'll say it till kingdom come. When I worked for the SEC Network, I obviously covered a pretty considerable amount of Alabama games.
Yeah.
And by far the best food, by the way. Dreamland Barbecue that they brought in for us.
Oh,
like,
I bet
incredible.
It's so good.
The mac and cheese is great. Oh, banana pudding.
Don't tell me that.
I gained like 17 pounds every time I was there. But I loved being able to talk to Lane Kiffin because he, you know, after he was fired and then, you know, all that as a head coach and became
so
an offensive coordinator.
Surrounding Kiffin.
They don't let him talk very much, but you have to let him talk to the television crews because that's the whole point, right? Loved it. Because he will say whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And I think it's great. So whenever he was a head coach, and obviously Nick Saban doesn't think it's great, and he didn't even coach in the national championship. And I still don't think that was a mutual decision, by the way.
No.
But he is like the guy that randomly will pop up on Twitter, Lane Kiffin. If you don't follow Lane Kiffin on Twitter, you should, because it's incredible.
Give him a follow.
He's hilarious. Like he looks just like Daniel Tosh, and I'm as entertained by him as I am Daniel Tosh.
Uses bit emojis quite often
and,
in his Twitter.
And he's pretty good at coaching. He just needs to revamp his image a little bit. But so we always do a shade of the day every Wednesday. Last Wednesday, our shade of the day was every Alabama fan because they just hated their lives after that national championship. But Lane Kiffin coming through on social media. We love it.
Always.
We can't get enough of it.
So Kiffin has been throwing some shade at Auburn again. He tweeted out a picture of Auburn's jet, which was in South Florida, presumably on a recruiting trip, with the hashtag... Hashtag missed you guys. Miss you guys.
He's not even coaching for Alabama anymore, and he's still throwing shade at Auburn.
So funny. And then, like, last summer, he tweeted a picture. There was a highway exit sign that said Auburn University on it, and he hashtagged the scores of their last two Iron Bowl games, which is pretty hilarious. And that was it. Just that's all, the only hashtag with the picture.
He also tweets out bitmojis. Like, he's the guy on Twitter. Like, what's he actually doing on Twitter? Like, he's not tweeting out, you know, like, motivational things. He's not he's petty. On Twitter to be petty.
Pettiness at its finest.
And he's not even coaching for Alabama anymore, and he's still throwing shade. Like, if you go see his tweet, like, it's just a little plane, right? Like,
it's like a little small jet with an Auburn.
It's a recruiting trip.
Auburn logo.
And he's like, miss you guys. Like, what is going on? Like, I love it. But it's interesting, and it came out, I guess, over Christmas break, and our good friend Christina, who's back in the production room, she brought this to our attention, and I completely forgot that this had happened, and I read through it. So he talked to Pete Thamel of Sports Illustrated right after he took the job at FAU. So it was like right after Christmas, still on staff at Alabama, by the way. And the article is... really funny in general. You know, it's talking about him house hunting, and he talks about how he sold his house to Vince Vaughn, and like, and they use so many quotes. That's something that Christina said when she showed it to us, like during our very short production meeting we had today, because it's a monsoon outside. But she was like, they use so many of his quotes. I'm like, yeah, like
anytime he's that good.
He's that good. But it's a great article. But the best part of it is he's talking about his divorce to his wife, and I think they are officially divorced, Layla.
That's what I've seen. Yeah.
I think. I don't know if it's official or not, but
yeah.
He should be
in the works.
He should be the next bachelor, by the way. That's I've been saying that for a while.
Oh my God.
But he had a quote that was like, I don't know who takes more of my money, Layla or Obama. And that is Lane Kiffin to
its finest.
And he is still at it on Twitter. I'm glad he's at it on. That's why whenever they announced that he was not going to be a part of the national championship game, I was like, oh my God, he's going on Paul Feinbaum. This is going to be great.
Surprised at how PC and boring he was.
I know. I was kind of disappointed, to be honest with you. Yeah, I was too. Like, not that I thought he was going to completely throw Coach Saban under the bus, but like, I was kind of hoping for some Lane Kiffin type drama.
Juice, some popcorn but worthy.
Follow him on Twitter. It's great.
You'll be entertained for days.
Lane Kiffin, ladies and gentlemen. Every time he can come up, especially in college football offseason, we're going to do it. I can't wait to see what he can do. You know, like I've mentioned before when we've talked about him, even when the Fresno State job opened up way, way back, you know, we said, okay, well, can Lane Kiffin actually revamp his image enough to go coach and be a head coach at a Division I school? Mm-hmm. We'll see. But somebody's going to have to take a chance on him. And here we are with FAU.
Here we are,
And he wasn't even going to go back to Alabama, by the way.
That's
always hidden, right? Like, they weren't going to, according to sources they weren't going to re-sign his contract.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder
Interesting.
Why. Lane Kiffin. But seriously, Lane Kiffin for Bachelor. I'm going to start a campaign.
That is pretty hilarious. I did not think of that. All right, you want some comments and questions?
Absolutely.
Yeah, a couple. Okay. So here's a thought from a listener. They aren't going to punish Antonio Brown. One win from the Super Bowl. Come on. Bill once punished Wes for a foot joke. If they punish Antonio Brown, it will be after the season, which I agree with that.
Completely agree. And when we were talking about this at the beginning of the show, that was the thing. It's like, it just wasn't egregious enough for me. Yes, it was a complete lack of thinking.
Yeah.
It was disrespectful. It was disloyal. Whatever word you want to use, it was just stupid. It was flat out effing stupid, right? But punishing him, and how do you punish him, especially because he is Antonio Brown? You've got two games left.
You can't do it until after.
And let's be for real. The Patriots don't care. Like, I'm sure that they're probably making fun of it, like you or I would, but like, that they don't need that extra motivation. They're the Patriots. It's Tom Brady. It's Bill Belichick. Yeah. I mean, no. But they're going to do something, but I just don't know what that punishment is going to be.
They have to delay it. There's no way they can do anything.
Ground him from his phone? Like, what do you do? What do you do to punish him? I don't know. I don't know if the NFL can do anything. It's obviously a breach of trust. It was really stupid. I'd be furious if I was Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm. But let's be for real. What are they going to do? We'll find out.
One listener said, 3 years cancer-free. Very proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
So proud and happy for Casey. To answer the question, do you let your kids play football? Almost everyone lets their kids drive. good point.
I like it.
I like that point.
It's true. And yes, it's like one of those things, you know, it's like you have more of a chance of getting struck by lightning or whatever all those sayings are. Yeah, you put your kid in a car at 16 and there's obviously way more injury and death to cars. So do you just, do you not let them drive? That's my thing. And again, I'm not a parent, so I can't tell parents what to do. If you don't want your kid to play football, that's fine. That's your prerogative. Mm-hmm. But you can't protect them from everything. And if that's what they want to do, especially with technology and with advances in modern science and all that, I would let my kid play. Mm-hmm. No matter what Bo Jackson says, no matter what anybody else says, maybe that's stupid. I don't know.
I wish I could play football. To this day, wish so badly I could play.
I have said that my entire life because I've always loved the game so much, mm-hmm. but I could never play. I mean, obviously,
unless
I could
slap on some lingerie in the lingerie football league.
Well,
which I'm not about.
I was about to say, please don't tell me you're thinking about that.
No, you're saying I wish
your USA
could play.
Track and field life would go away. No, I completely agree with you.
In normal
though.
Pads and uniform,
absolutely. But right, and obviously it's a very dangerous sport. There's no question. But like, it's
so I think
still
we're a little
sport.
Biased and selfishly. We secretly wish we could play.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. What position do you think you would have played?
I've had this conversation with Billy Lucci, and he thinks I'd be like a tight end. Like,
you are very tall.
Yeah, I am very tall. He compared me to the Gronk, so I don't know how
you
I feel
party
about
like
that.
The Gronk.
I don't know how I feel about that, Casey.
I party right next to you. I mean, like, it's like one of those things. Like, if you go to jail, I won't be bailing you out. I'll be sitting next to you, type of thing, right?
Very true.
I think I would love to believe that I would have played quarterback.
Quarterback, I could totally see that.
But I think wide receiver probably.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to play defense. I'm that kid, right? No, I need all the attention.
But at the same time, I would love to be able to go and tackle and let out my aggression against some people.
So I played Powder Puff my senior year of high school. This has totally derailed the show, by the way. and there was a girl that was a junior that I just could not stand, right? Petty high school drama. And they let you tackle in Powder Puff because the school didn't sponsor it. Like it's off campus. So like the football players, like the guys, the actual football players were like coaches and referees. Yeah. And it was crazy. I'm not even going to get into how stupid it was to now looking back at it. But I was a wide receiver, and the girl that was covering me is a girl I hated.
There were
a couple of plays I didn't even care to even play offense. Like, I would just go, I'm going to be blocking on this play. And I would just like run over, and like, I'm not like, I mean, I'm tall, but like, I'm not very like built, right?
No,
like,
you're small.
It was not pretty sometimes, but I was giving it hell.
We should form a league.
No.
We should form a team. I'm all about that.
Can I wear like the quarterback jersey where I can't get hit?
Yeah, there you go.
That's fine.
I want to hit some people. I'll wear the pads.
Don't get Annie started on that.
And then we have one more comment. Any football high school or higher, I believe, is pretty dangerous.
It's true. I mean, there's no question about that. And we're not taking that away. I mean, obviously, when you've got, like I mentioned, 200 to 300 pound people rushing at you and the whole point is to take you down and tackle
dangerous.
You. It's very dangerous, but that is the nature of the game. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Bo Jackson or whoever else, like, I don't know if them coming out and saying I would have not played, how much of an impact that's going to be. Obviously, you've got to listen. Mm-hmm. You've got to listen to somebody like him. But that's the nature of the game. Mm-hmm. And as long as all the right precautions are being taken, in my opinion, that's the way it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Unless you just completely take away one of the world's largest businesses.
Which I don't foresee
in the
happening.
NFL. I mean, I don't know. I say world. I know it's the nations. I mean, I guess probably not world. That's probably exaggerated. But I mean, think about how big of a business the NFL is. The TV rights, the sponsors, marketing, the sport. I mean, it's obviously it's king in the United States. Mm-hmm. Then you look at college football and you go down. I mean, they televise national high school games now. I mean, it's crazy. Like the state championships in Texas. Like,
oh,
we're
they're like
Texas,
nothing like, I've ever seen. I mean, I'm from Colorado and I went to the semis a couple years ago and it filled SMU's stadium. I've never seen anything like that. It was unbelievable.
There are shows, Friday Night Lights, that are based around how crazy football is. And that's just in this state. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Texans are crazy anyways. I'm allowed to say that. I am
Everything's
one,
bigger in Texas.
Everything is bigger in Texas. That is absolutely true. You're learning. You've been here long enough.
I'm a quick learner.
Quick learner. All right, guys. We'll be back actually tomorrow. Normally, we're Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern. But we're going to do an NFL championship weekend special tomorrow, mm-hmm. Thursday at noon Eastern or ish. Maybe 12:30, depending on how fast the production crew can move things around. So come hang out with us. We're going to be breaking down those awesome games that are coming up this weekend. We're really excited. If you guys want to hear from us on social media, we're on Twitter. Both of us are. my Twitter is the only thing I know how to work. I'm Bill Belichick, right? Like, I don't even know
what Snap Face is.
Snapchat. I do love Snapchat. I don't. Facebook is run by these lovely people. So if you hit us up either on Casey Smith TV on Facebook or Casey Smith, KAYC on Twitter, we'd love to hear from you guys. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks to SB Nation Radio nationally and Gridiron Now. And we'll be back tomorrow, less than 24 hours away. Mm-hmm. We hope to see you guys.
Stay friendly, right?
Stay friendly. Life's too short to be angry and mean. Bye, guys.